Welcome to the Talking Smash podcast. I'm your host, Matt Hetherington. I'm joined by Sophia Klee. She is one of Germany's top players through the cadets and the juniors and now the women's. How is everything going? Obviously, we're going to have a discussion about an area that maybe you want to talk about, maybe you don't, about coming back from injury. I thought I always try and pick topics that are going to be interesting for people. I think table tennis interviews generally talk about the same things. So I want to do something a little different. And I thought you'd be the perfect person to talk to about making a big comeback from an injury.
Yeah, thank you. First of all, hello, everyone. And I'm really happy to be here with you, Matt. And yeah, I'm really looking forward.
You know, I actually, in preparation for this, I was watching some of the other videos for you. I actually watched a video of, it was like a behind the scenes kind of blooper video of like funny moments when you were doing interviews with the German team players. I don't know which event it was at, maybe Champions
League. It was the European final? Championship. It was European last year in Munich. But you cannot understand one word, huh? It was in German.
No. Yeah. But it was still, it was still funny.
It was funny. It was funny, yes.
Okay, so we're going to start off a little bit further back. So obviously when you were a cadet and when you were a junior, you had a lot of great success playing in Europe. And you got some really, really good results in Europe. There are a lot of people from different countries that watch this. So as a reference point, can you explain a little bit about what your training schedule was like and your competition schedule and how that balanced with school in particular?
Yes. So I started playing table tennis with 4 years. So it was really early. And then... yeah, let's say I started slowly that I was practicing twice a week. Then maybe with 8, I start to practice maybe 4 times. And then, yeah, around 11, 12, I started to practice every day. And then I think with 9, it was the first time when I went to Düsseldorf for a camp. And yeah, then it's starting to get a little bit professional. So then with 12, 13, I had my coach. I was practicing every time with him. I was seeing him every day. I had contact with him. And so it started to get my plan around table tennis a little bit more professional. And when I was a little bit older, when I was 13, 14, it really gets professional. I had a plan for every day, my exercise, what I need to do, I don't know, gym and stuff like this. I was also traveling a lot. And I have to say, I really had a coach who did everything for me and always good partners for practice, always sparrings. And yeah, let's say I had every ball, someone was watching behind me, and helps me a lot, because in this young age,
that's a lot
I think
of pressure
it's
too, though.
Yeah, true. But also in this age, I think you need this, because it's really difficult to do the stuff by your own when you're in a young age. And yeah, I think this is the secret, that I really had one team around me. I had also already with 14, 15 psychologist lessons. Yeah, stuff like this, I think this was the key. And to compare with school, it was so difficult, really. Sometimes I had to learn also in the night, because I had no other times. Or often I learned in trains when I was flying somewhere. This was the time where I did something for school. And I was maybe 50%. In general, I was in school, because, yeah, a lot of tournaments, practice and stuff like this. It was, not easy to make both. But in the end, I'm really, really happy that I did my final exams with 18, so 2021. And, it was really hard. Sometimes too hard, I have to say. Sometimes it was too much. And Yeah, but now looking back to this, I'm really happy that I did this, that I did this also, yeah, till the end. I was not breaking up school. I was doing this till the end, and yeah, it's also important because I'm also a woman. It's not easy to earn, yeah, a lot of money in sport, and it's always a second option that I have, yeah, that I can study and stuff like this.
Which is great. I can kind of imagine you would get to like the end of a day of practice, and then all you would want to do is rest, and then you would have to always be thinking about homework and catching
Yes,
up
yes,
on
yes.
work and stuff like that. I mean, even in the US, I know players who they tried to commit to table tennis more and they ended up taking, a couple of years off school. I know one player in particular that took a couple of years off school and then had to come back and didn't finish high school till he was like 20 years old. So to be
Yes.
able to do both at the same time is really impressive, especially to be able to get to the top levels for table tennis as well. So in the beginning of 2022, so it was last year, right? You had an injury with your knee. I don't particularly know too much of the details about it. The only part that I do know is that fortunately you didn't have to have surgery, which was kind of a bullet that you managed to dodge. So maybe you can explain a little bit more about what the injury was and what the implications were. And also, when you were getting so much momentum in your table tennis career, how did it affect you mentally, kind of thinking about what the injury might mean for your table tennis career, especially given, like you just said, you would put so much effort into your table tennis career and having to balance and juggle school, to then have to deal with an injury.
Yeah, so as I said before, I did my final exams in 2021, and I did it in my hometown in Kassel. And for me, I wanted to be after a professional player. I wanted to just focus on table tennis, so I decided to go to Düsseldorf. So here's the yeah, many of you know for sure that in Düsseldorf in Germany it's a big center. Yeah, I decided to go there, and yeah, in this time after the final exams, I practiced a lot, and then I start to that I had a little bit knee problems. It was water in my knee, so
Okay,
it
like
was yeah,
fluid on the joint.
yes, and it was a bit painful, and then I did also break. I think it was 3 4 weeks. Yeah, and then I had in the beginning of the year I had my first Bundesliga match, and I broke in this match. It was in doubles. I broke my kneecap. Yeah, I was just playing. I was playing, and I also won with my partner. I won the double,
Oh, you
but
won the
after.
match.
Yes, with the broken kneecap, but it was yeah, I didn't feel the pain in the match. After I went to the coach, and he said just sit on the chair, and then I couldn't go up. It was really like it hurt so much. And then the next day I was going to the doctor, and he said directly you have to go to a hospital to make surgery. Your kneecap is broken, and I think at least 1 year you have to stop table tennis to recover. And in this first moment, it was too much for me. But yeah, long story short, in the end, it was no surgery because it's difficult to make a surgery in a knee, especially when you're yeah, professional player, because there can also be some mistakes, and then I never could come back. So in the end, it was really good. And also, it was in the end of January, I broke my kneecap. And in the beginning of June, I was already playing the European Youth Championship. So in the end, it was 4 months, which was like, yeah, I had to recover. But yeah, looking back to this, was perfect how it went for this, yeah, such big problem. And to be honest, I was not thinking one second about that could be the end of my career, because I really, like, it was somehow good, somehow bad that it happened. Of course, bad because it's not nice to be injured when you're a player. Right. You see your teammates practicing every day, and it's not easy. It's not easy because also I did my final exams. I wanted to focus only on table tennis, and then this happened. So from one of the other moment, I had nothing. And then also the doctor said 1 year and stuff like this. So I was really, really sad. But somehow also good, because before with school and table tennis, driver license, then my club was also 6 hours far away. So it was too much. And yeah, then I had a bit time to calm down, to realize what happened in the last few years, and also to think about my future, what I really want. And then, yeah, in the end, I decided to, yeah, I really want to be a professional player. I had this motivation to come back, and I was fighting every day. I started with just service. I started to just play when I was standing, and slowly it was better and better. And then after this, I went to Düsseldorf. Now I'm living here since 1 year and a little bit. And yes, I'm really happy that it went like this, because yeah, it was not sure that I still can play.
So what I was going to ask you, you kind of covered a couple of different things, especially about seeing your teammates practicing and competing, and not being kind of being removed from that. What was the like specifics of like your recovery? Like what kind of physical rehab did you have to do? Like you said in the beginning, like you literally couldn't even stand up. So what was the process like of, did you have more people that you worked with to do like physical rehabilitation first before you got back to the table?
Yes. Okay. I mean, the first, 2-3 weeks I couldn't walk, so the doctor said really like lay in bed and do nothing. Then yeah, it was really hard, but yeah, in the beginning I did this, and then slowly it was better to walk. I was maybe 30 minutes, something like this. I was just walking outside to move a little bit the knee, and then I started to make physical practice. I did this with my physio, and yeah, it was also really tough time. I really had a good good athletic, because it was really hard. My whole body practiced, because that I get strong in every muscle, that like this is not happening anymore. And I was every day I was in gym. Sometimes also twice, and I was driving with the bike. I did some physical exercise. I did a lot of physio, and stuff like this. And this, in the end, this helped me to come back to the table, because knee is a really complicated part of the body, and I mean, in the end, it was because my muscle was too weak around the knee. So I started to practice this part of my leg, and now it's stronger, and my knee is more protective because of the muscles. Mm. And also, still now, I'm practicing a lot for my knees and for my muscles, and I'm also a lot of, I don't know, 3 or 4 times I'm in the gym, also here in Düsseldorf. And it's a really important part also of table tennis to be fit, to have good muscles. And
a lot of people tend to overlook that a lot, especially the, I think instead of, some people think that they don't need to be strong for table tennis, but I feel almost the majority of people.
Yes.
But I think people don't necessarily think about strengthening your body to prevent injury. In 2019, I had to spend 3 weeks with the Chinese national team, and they had physical therapists and physical trainers from Europe that were working with them, and they were really focused on injury prevention, especially after they changed the ball to the plastic one.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I think it changed in every sport, or almost every sport, that it's getting more athletic, that the athletic part is more important, and also
that's table tennis. I don't play anymore. You actually, when you were going through, when you were talking about how much you were training at a young age, you were saying before you were 8 years old, you were only practicing twice a week, and that's more than I practice now. So I think next year I have to start playing more. it really sounds like from a mental standpoint you kind of rose to the challenge, so you weren't kind of taken aback too much. You seemed very focused on doing everything that you could to make sure you got back on the table. I know a lot of people who get injured, sometimes they don't really know what they're supposed to be doing. Sometimes they're not as focused on like a goal or getting back towards something. I know for me, like with the health problems that I've had over the last 10 years, table tennis is always like kind of like the light at the end of the tunnel. So it's like when you know that you want to get back to something, you don't necessarily think too much about like, oh, maybe I'm not going to be able to do this or do that. You're just like, okay, how do I figure this out so that I can get back to practicing as quickly as possible? So it sounds like you definitely had that mentality, which is great. And I'm sure that probably helped you get back faster than probably other people might have as well.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think in the end, it's not working when you don't have the motivation, because then the distance from the other players is too much, and you lose right. too much time. Also in this time, I mean, I was 19. I was done with the school, and this is the time where you can practice the most and focus the most on table tennis. And if you lose this time, I mean, it's also, this time is also a chance to focus on other stuff. Not like, okay, fuck, next week I have again tournament, league match. I have to prepare for this. No, you have time. You have time to think about maybe to change your system, to make better service, to think about other stuff. And it's also an opportunity to be better in your game, but you have to, you need to have this mindset to handle with this situation and make the best of it. And I think this is the most important. Otherwise, the distance from the other players is somehow then too much.
Okay, we're gonna move on to the break segment, which is something that I put in there for fun. This, you would never have been able to guess what this one's going to be. I actually came up with it this morning. I've decided to call it the bank heist. So basically what you have to do is you have to choose one of your teammates. It can be somebody that you practice with. It can be one of the youth players from the German team, one of the senior players. I mean, you're pretty familiar with all of those players anyway. So one of your teammates, you have to choose for each of these bank heist. You understand, you know what a bank heist is, right? Like a bank robbery.
Yes.
So you have to choose the person for each role of a bank heist. Not that I know what the different roles are, but just from watching movies, we're going to go with it. So the first teammate you have to choose is the person who would be the mastermind. So the person who would plan the whole bank heist.
But now
this is why
I
like, this is why I like this segment, and you can't prepare for it. So now you're put on the spot.
Plan. So this person has to be really structured and organized,
like somebody,
with the life.
Somebody tactical and organized. Somebody who would be able to plan a bank heist. Like the person who kind of runs the whole thing. You can pick yourself as well for one of them if you want. I don't know if you're the kind of person who would
mastermind a
bank
I was
heist,
also
but
thinking about I was also thinking about because I think I
about
would
naming yourself or about doing a bank heist?
No, oh, no, 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 about naming myself, because I think when I think about my teammates in Düsseldorf or in Weinheim, or yeah, I think I'm the person who can plan this the best. Like
Okay, so
I'm
you're the
the person.
mastermind of the
I
bank
really
heist.
like to plan my life, to have everything organized, to be clean with everything, and to go to bed and to not forget something. So I think I'm the person
Okay,
who was
so you're the
planning this.
mastermind. All right.
Yes.
Okay, the second person is the muscle. So like who's the
Chantal
person
Mans.
that's okay.
Chantal
All
Mans
right.
or Sabine Winter?
You can only pick
Just
one.
okay, Sabine Winter.
She's going to be your muscle. So if you get into trouble on the way out, she's going to bust you out.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, nice. Maybe she can do some tightrope to escape from the building.
Maybe, yes.
All right, the next person is the safe cracker. So
yes.
What kind of person is patient, kind of patient and calculated, that would be able to crack the safe?
I would say Bruna Takahashi. I'm playing with her in Weinheim, and I think she has the confidence to practice and, yeah, to do this.
That's all you need to break her safe, is just confidence.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, you need to go there. Somebody can come and stuff like this. I think you need this confidence to go, hey, nobody's coming. I'm just making my stuff and go.
I don't know Bruna too well, but is she patient? Is she quite patient? Because, you know, like usually when you crack a safe, you have to be very calm and like patient.
Yeah, she is.
Okay.
She can't,
right,
like
safe
sometimes
cracker.
She's, yeah, but I think in some situations like this, she would be patient, yes.
Okay. All right. And the last person is the getaway driver.
The getaway driver?
Yeah.
Fuck, why you chose me in the first one already?
You want to be?
Because normally I'm the driver in every situation.
But you'd be a sensible driver, right? Or are you a bit reckless behind the wheel?
No, I'm good. I'm a good driver, really.
Okay, so you can't be the getaway driver. You got
to
be a little bit crazy to be a getaway.
Then I would say, who's planning this stuff?
you're the mastermind.
No, I'm the driver. It's better.
Okay, so you're the driver, but sensible. So if the police, you just pull over for the police?
Yes, I could.
Okay.
No, who would plan this stuff?
All right. Somebody experienced.
Then I bet
not experienced, not experienced at bank heisting, just with lots of experience.
Then, like you said also before, something about tactic, and then I would choose Yuan Wan, because she's really good in technical stuff and tactics and whatever in table tennis. So I think
she's
the
so
planner.
Yuan,
I'm the driver. This is
the
better
mastermind. All right, so Yuan's the mastermind. Sabina is the muscle. Bruna Takahashi is the safe cracker, and then you're the getaway driver.
Yeah, it's perfect.
That
really,
it's pretty good to me. The perfect bank heist.
Yes.
These are like quickly becoming my favorite parts of these podcasts.
That is funny.
I should just start doing a podcast that's just not even about table tennis. I should just pick something. Unfortunately for you, now we have to get back to the table tennis stuff, which is not going to be as exciting as robbing a bank. the next part that I wanted to go over was, and I think this could help other people who get injured. When you did come back to the table tennis table, I know you mentioned that you were doing a lot of service practice, but what kind of stuff were you focusing on when you first came back to the table? Like, did you spend time focusing on building up basics again? I mean, people don't realize this. I know, like, if I play pickleball and I play once and then I don't play again for 3 months, I can pick up a pickleball paddle and I can go and play and my level will be almost exactly the same. But if you take 3 months off in table tennis, you have to do a lot of practice to get your level back to where it was. What was your focus when you came back from after the physical rehabilitation? And what steps do you think are important for players who are coming back from an injury after like 3-6 months to focus on?
Yes, like for me, I experienced that the most important is that after 3 months, you have completely other feeling for the table when you're practicing normally every day. You come to the table and the size and everything feels so wrong. And for me, the most important was that there you really have the chance to change your technique, to change stuff, which is normally not so easy because something is like automatic in your head. You just playing, you sometimes make something wrong, and it's like 2, 3, 4 years you already did this, and it's really difficult to change because it's already so much in your brain. You practice every time for on tops when it's so much automatic that it's really difficult to change. And in this time, you really have to the chance to work on this stuff, to maybe do something on your technique, because anyway, everything feels wrong. The technique, the forehand tops and backhand tops and the serve, everything is wrong. So in the end, this is, I think, the perfect time to try to change your weakness. And of course, then you have to start with the basics, to make long rallies, to make something, to just move, I don't know, 3 points with forehand or backhand, middle, backhand, forehand, something like this, to just get used to it again, to have the feeling, to have long rallies and to feel the ball again. And then slowly to start. I mean, it's also like if you have break for 3 months, then let's say 2 weeks, you are doing this feeling stuff, and then it's already like before. So then you can start also something, service, receive, some stuff. But I think the most important is that you really have the chance to change something on your technique. For me, it was a little bit difficult because shortly when I came back, I had directly this big tournament, the European Youth Championship. So I had not so much time to change anything, and also the basic stuff. So yeah, this was not the best, but I would say this is my, I think this is the most important. And if you have the time, then do this.
I actually, it was really terrible, but there was one, I think in 2015, I got quite sick, and I actually, I blacked out in the shower, and I hit the side of my head. So I got like a really light concussion. And when I came back to playing table tennis, I had like a little bit of like double vision. So I could see like 1.5 tables. So for me, like, I think I spent 2 months, and I showed up to the club every morning. This would be like 7 o'clock in the morning, and I just practiced with a robot. But when you said that everything was wrong, that's the first thing that reminded me of. It was just like, your timing is gone. You can't control like the angle of your racket. Your
also swing the feeling feels wrong. Just to go to the table already. This table is so big and the service is so wrong. And really, sometimes, you have to experience this once, yes.
Sometimes you walk up to the table and it can feel like the table is like too low. Like you walk up to it and then you put your leg against the table and you're like, oh, I thought the table was like a little bit higher before.
Yes.
It's a little bizarre. So you came back and you won in this year. So this year or last year, the German, the women's doubles was this year, right?
This
National Championship. And then you got bronze in the singles. You got silver at the under 21 European Championships. So like you're back. We know that you're back and you're doing great. So you said something about the importance of strengthening the muscle around your knee. What are some of the precautions that you take now? When you're playing tournaments or when you're going to practice, do you have extra stretching routines or things that you do with like resistance bands, or what kind of things do you do differently now than compared to before?
Yeah, I do bags. I do a lot of exercise, to be honest, but I would not say that I changed a lot. I'm just just warm up good, that I'm warm if I go to the table, that I'm not cold, and I think this is the most dangerous for the muscles. I think when you're prepared, when you're warm up, then it's already really good, because I think mostly of the people also just go on the table and start to play. But but I would say since I had this injury, I go more often to the gym. This is what I do, but mostly after the practice. So in Düsseldorf here, the plan is that we have on Monday and Tuesday, we have afternoon after practice, we have gym, 1.5 hour, and also Friday morning before the practice. So this is when we have group practice, and then we also go alone to the gym. So this I really noticed that I need to have good muscles because it's also like in table tennis, like the whole day you're being in a not good position, also for the knees and for the back like this. So you need to be really strong on some parts, also this back here, back. The knees, and also shoulder for table tennis. So there are some parts which is really important that you are not get to use really fast injured. So this helped me a lot, also to have more stability, and okay, of course, that you have more power. But I think this is really a good tip, that for protection for injuries, that you build up your muscles.
Right. Yeah, I think there's a lot of people kind of try and patch things up. So like when somebody hurts their knee, you'll see a lot of table tennis players having like the knee brace for support, or like a full knee brace, or you know, they put like a bunch of KT tape on and try and just kind of put a band-aid on it, I guess, instead of actually trying to solve the problem. People's mentality is like, I'm injured, I can't go to the gym. When it's like, no, when you're injured, you take a little bit of time to recover, but then you have to go to the gym. Otherwise, you're going to stay injured or it's going to get worse.
True, yes.
Yeah. Well, that was a really great podcast. I'm sure like a lot of people who have injuries will definitely be able to take something away from that. It's really great to see you back and to see you winning. And we're, especially at YOLO, we're all very glad that you didn't have to have surgery and that you were able to get through it and get back out on the table. So thanks for sharing. I know sometimes talking about injuries and health and stuff like that can be a little bit sensitive. So thanks very much for sharing your experience with us.
Yeah, thank you also very much. It was really nice to do this with you. And I hope
now we're all going to wait for the bank heist.
Yes.
There will be. And I have a feeling the bank heist is going to make it.
I will write my teammates now.
Hopefully next year, I'm sure I'll be making one trip over to Germany at some point. So maybe we can sit down and do a podcast in real life as well. And I have some time to think of a different topic and a different break segment as well.
I'm cool. Really
thank you,
forward.
Sophia.
Yeah, it was fun. Thank you.